B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much did the limited amount of fully padded practice time you've had in recent weeks do you feel had on today's game?
I don't know. But you want a percentage? I have no idea.
You want a percentage, Mass?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, what percent would you put on it?
Oh, I don't know, 15? To guess, somewhere in there.
You said 1.5?
Yeah, 1.5, not 50.
15.
15. You might be able to push me as high as 20.
That seems high.
Something like that. Mm. I mean, look, they didn't practice for a long time. It was a factor. I don't think there's any doubt that it was a factor. The question is this. Is that a team you should beat regardless? And I look at that and say, yes.
Obviously.
Yes. So to me, that's sort of where I come down on it. Did not practicing hurt them? Of course. Yes, especially a Belichick team, because I think that, you know, it's got to drive him bananas. I mean, it's got to drive him bananas to not be able to do it the way he wants to do it. And so were they affected? No question. Yeah, they still should have won the game.
You know what struck me yesterday, what it felt like? Felt like it was a coach in decline is what it felt like to me. Seriously. And we'll see how that all plays out. But that's just a snapshot yesterday. Where if that were a player and he looked like that, you look at it like you're looking at Julian Edelman right now. And you'd say, boy, that's a coach that's lost his fastball. That's what you would say if you were just judging it in a vacuum. Talk about something I was not anticipating, and I'm not just even talking about the loss. I'm talking about the whole picture there of the COVID and then how they respond to it. I thought they'd be the last team that would have to deal with an outbreak. I thought they'd be the last team. I thought it'd be the stupid, undisciplined teams around the league that would have to deal with an outbreak. Instead, you were the second. Okay, so you're right at the top of the list. I never thought you'd be in that spot in the first place. Then, we all said this. How many times did people say this? That the new normal and the league being thrown on its ear and everyone being sort of thrown into a blender here with COVID, who's going to benefit the most from it? Well, Bill's going to benefit the most from it. He's going to have his guys ready, and all these other bozo teams aren't going to have a clue. And Bill's going to be ahead of the game because it's Bill. And I mean, I'm firmly in that camp. I thought so. Instead, not only was he one of the teams that was able to avoid COVID because they're so disciplined and buttoned down, he was just about the first team to get it. And then not only could they not overcome the adversity caused by it, they succumbed to it. And they sort of gave in to it. Didn't you feel like Bill gave in yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I thought Bill did. I totally did. I mean, I think I put this in the email exchange. Some of the stuff that happened late, not challenging the James White play, and then not taking the penalty and conceding the 3 points.
How about the timeout that Fangio forced him to use? It was a 4th-and-1 for Denver. He has three tight ends come out, and it looks like they're about to go for it. And he's forced to use a timeout. And I was like, Vic Fangio, of all people, just out-Belichicked Belichick. What's happening?
And all they were doing was a snap count, right?
Yeah.
So like, if that were a player, we'd say he's cashed or he's losing it or he's in decline. If that were a player, we'd say what we're saying about Edelman, or what we've said from time to time about Brady or Gronkowski or you name it. Whatever old player, Bruschi at the end, Harrison at the end, that's what it felt like with Bill. That's what it felt like with Bill. Team was not prepared. And we all said it. Oh, it was like a chorus around here. Well, they'll be the, you know, of all the guys that could deal with no preseason or a different training camp or lost days and time due to COVID, who's the best, you know, who's going to clean up on that? Bill's going to clean up on that. Instead, his team was not ready, and they kind of gave in. I say they, meaning the coaches. Bill did.
Oh, I thought he did. I told you. To me, that was like, whoa, what's going on there? Not to mention the 2-point conversion. What the hell was that all about?
That's a debatable one. But, I mean,
look, the lack of practice doesn't help. It's around, I think, 10%. You know, Maz, you said 15. You could be talked into 20, which I think is high. But I don't think that's insurmountable, especially against a bad Denver team at home. Like, Tennessee had it much worse. And, okay, you want to argue back, well, they were holding illegal practices. But they played a better team, and they didn't practice all that much. They were just screwing around in a high school field. The issue was the Patriots weren't ready to play because they spent too much whining over the last week. Rather than focusing on an opponent, they thought they'd walk all over.
Too busy blaming Goodell like a bunch of 8-year-olds. Too busy blaming a locker room the size of a locker room. Too busy blaming this, that, and the other. Versus what? getting ready for a game or doing the best they can to get ready for a game and blocking out the distractions and overcoming adversity, like Tennessee's done just fine. And instead, you're the team that succumbed to it, that wasn't ready. That's a sign of a coach that's losing his fastball. Sorry. I'm saying that to myself as much as anyone. I'm just calling it like I see it. And that doesn't mean the season's over or that he's done. Certainly, we talk about all these players. They have a bad week. You think they're done, and then they're not. And that was, you know, certainly been the case for Brady over the last couple of years. So I don't think Bill's done. I don't think this team is done.
No, but for one day, from the top down.
That's how it looked yesterday.
Yeah, from the top down, for one day, it was bad. All bad.
I mean, it's one of the worst games I've ever seen them play under Belichick. It might be the worst. I mean, it's hard to say that because there are others that you look at over the years, I'm sure, that would pop up. But in terms of them looking like a ragtag outfit, because that's what that looked like yesterday. I can't remember worse than that. That was garbage.
Does anyone feel they're done?
No.
Why?
Because, again, first of all, the big thing that concerns me is the offensive line. Like, there was just a fire drill nature to some of what went on with the offensive line. And I just think they're better coached and they're better talented than that. They're more talented than that. So their defense is still pretty good. I don't think they're done. No. That never even crossed my mind.
Well, for me, it's more about default than anything else. Expanded playoffs. They could maybe get in at 8-8, still squeak in 9-7, which is where I had them even going into the season. The rest of the conference kind of stinks. You know, I mean, you have teams like Pittsburgh and Tennessee at the top, but after that, it's just kind of the gelatinous middle, it feels like. So, no, they'll still get in. I still think they will with, above 500 by a game or two.
I just want to clarify. I'm not saying they're getting in. I'm just telling you I don't think it's over yet. Way too early. 2-3. And, you know, and honestly, I think if they, you know, if they have a relatively normal week, I think you'll see them show up and play well on Sunday. I think that I don't think Belichick's just going to cash it in. The wins mean too much to him. Let's not forget that either. So I don't think that. But this thing, oh, my God, I'll tell you, I half wondered with the whole, you know, Belichick sort of playing the Florence Nightingale role last week, getting out of the way, letting his players come. What's that?
No, go ahead.
Letting his players complain, getting the game postponed. I half wonder if, you know, he feels on some level throwing his hands up and saying, I can't fight COVID. Can't fight it. Because, again, that's what the end of the game felt like yesterday.
Feels like a lot of other teams are.
Oh, totally.
So he's given into it? Or what? I thought you were going to say it was a little bit of football karma yesterday. A little bit of karma where they weasel out of the game 2 weeks ago. You know, because Newton's not available, Stephon Gilmore's not available. So it's very convenient for Bill Belichick to take up the cause of his players, Florence Nightingale, freedom fighter here, Bill Belichick, just looking out for the health and well-being of his players in the very week his starting quarterback can't play and his best defensive player can't play. Yeah, you know, go ahead, call the league. Robert's got you back, too. They all got the players back. So they weasel out of a game without their starting quarterback. They play the next week, they get their starting quarterback back and their best defensive player back, and they lose. Some might look at that as karma because they had another sort of mini outbreak here at the end of the week. Where was that player outrage? Where was the was there any threats of a player boycott this week?
Not that I saw, no.
Huh, was there any bit of Bill Belichick giving lip service and backing the players in their desire to cancel a game? Was there any movement there this week?
Nope.
Huh, interesting. Cam Newton was back and Stephon Gilmore was back. So you didn't quite hear the uproar to have the game postponed. No, we're going to play this one. We got Cam back and you get smoked. That's kind of karma.
Oh, listen, totally. And again, I just sense Belichick is one of these guys who controls everything and also encourages his players to ignore the distractions, the noise, whatever. So now all of a sudden it's we can't practice it. I just think he's the one getting bogged down in it all.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I do. He is. I do believe. I think he the fact that he got out of the way in that to allow that game to be pushed back a week the way he did, that I sort of felt like this is what we're gonna do. Okay, fine. You know, whatever. We'll just slap it out there and see what happens.
What was Cam Newton doing the last 2 weeks? Do you think he was working out on his own? Do you think he was really pushing it? And you could say those Tennessee players were irresponsible, certainly in a fashion, and they deserve to be punished and all that. But there's a whole side piece to that, and that is that those Tennessee players are so freaking driven and they care so much that they got together and kept working when they shouldn't have been. But, you know, I mean, you're following me.
The mentality's different.
From a football competitive standpoint, that's, you know, that's kind of what you want, right? Again, from a pure football standpoint in a vacuum. What was Newton doing the last 2 weeks?
Good question.
Did he post any hype videos? Was he working out? Because it didn't look like he did a damn thing. Feel like his mechanics have taken it back. I don't know. Feels like since that Seattle game, how has he looked?
I thought he looked awful yesterday. There were a couple of passes he completed that I thought, ooh, what an awful throw.
But how he is 6'4", right?
Yeah, yeah.
How's I think so he's bigger than that. Go ahead.
How does he get so many balls batted? I mean, that first interception was just pure laziness. Lazy.
Well, going back to camp, remember Zoe talked about having some concerns about his arm angle. There's the other thing, too, they talked about on the TV broadcast where defensive backs are watching his eyes. He's staring guys down. And, Maz, you got concerns about the offensive line, and rightfully so because it was a big shell game up front. But those sacks he took yesterday, they're on Cam Newton.
A lot of those were on him.
He held onto the ball too long.
For crying out loud, I understand if no one's open. If I understand you can't release the ball, well, then you run. Then you run. You don't just sit back there. A couple of those were killers. Cost him 3 points on one, loss a yard on that last drive. There were some big ones there that he took. So where's he been the last couple weeks? He doing everything he can. Didn't seem like it to me. So I am sorry. If that were a player, if Bill Belichick were a player, we'd say he looks cashed. That looks like a player in decline right there is what we'd be saying. So at least I can be fair about it, I think. I'll try. Meanwhile, for the Brady crew, nice day for the Bradyites. How wouldn't you say, Maz?
Oh, they looked awesome. They looked awesome.
What do you got, Murray? You want to go? Go ahead. Let Murray do it.
Well, the one thing that I was most surprised at, well, it's two things. One, that they played a clean game. They didn't get penalized at all. And their biggest issue, obviously, over the first month has been discipline. So that was surprising. And the Gronk thing, that was vintage Gronk up the seam, getting lit up by a safety. He gets up a little shaky, like every play now. Any play that Gronk does make, he looks a little creaky. But that, I didn't think he had that still left in him. So that's all. That's all I'll say. It was a... Nice day for the boys down in Tampa, that's all.
Good day for the Bradyites on a couple different fronts. The Aaron Rodgers front, which is sort of secondary, but the Belichick front. Every week's a little snapshot, right? Some weeks it looks better for Bill, some weeks it's looked better for Brady. Yesterday, big win for Tommy Boy.
Oh my God, please, a blowout.
Looks like Brady can still go, and his coach is in decline. That's the way it looks after yesterday.
Are you kidding? All the way around. Tampa completely goes off. Gronk is drinking from Brady's fountain of youth now. The Bucs get, Murray said they didn't get any penalties. Literally zero.
No penalties.
Zero.
No turnovers, no sacks.
Zero. Meanwhile, Cam Newton got knocked down like they were cutting trees down in the forest. Like the Patriots are spitting the ball up every 5 minutes, and Denver's punting once in the early fourth quarter. Oh, it was a good joke. Complete joke. It's like they took Bruce Arians. Took off the stupid hat, cut off his sweatshirt arms, and put him on the sideline in New England. That's what happened. Oh, what a joke. Complete joke.
Felger Maz comes to you on 98.5, the Sports Hub FM dial in Boston. Simulcast us across the country on NBC Sports Boston. DraftKings brings you that product in both forms. You can catch us on the web as well, 98.5thesportshub.com. And the app, that's a tremendous product. Download it to your smartphone, and that's where you can get us. Because today is a Monday. It's a re-entry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank. To your phones right after this.
Dugger Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
From the Denver 24 on 4th and 10. Shotgun snap. Broncos setting the blitz. A throw by Newton to the right. Incomplete with Harry, who was open at the 10-yard line. The ball sailed to the outside as Harry turned to the inside. And the Broncos are going to come away with their second straight win and their first victory here at Gillette since 2006.
I'm not sure if it's on the throw or the route, but it was there. For sure it was there. It's a double middle blitz. Is he expecting him to return out? Is that a return route? It doesn't seem like it is. I might tend to, you know how critical I am of Nikhil. I think I might be putting this on the quarterback. Because the ball's thrown too far to the outside. You're anticipating the blitz and you're going to get hit. And then you got to guess where the receiver's going to be. It's probably one Cam wishes he had back.
One last time for Drew Locke as he takes the right knee in the Denver Broncos.
It's a bad loss.
Yes, it is, and we'll take your reaction to it. 617-779-0985. Right to you. Guy in Boston, lead us off, Guy.
Hey, Michael, I want to just ask you one thing. Last week, I thought I heard you saying, You wanted to give Cam Newton an extension.
Not me.
Let me tell you something. The best thing about Cam Newton, it was hats. And see, Belichick and Brady have one thing in common. They both suck. Thank you.
Okay.
Man is a snappy dresser. I'll give him that.
It's like, I mean, to me, Bill's team did not overcome adversity, did not, that whole thing that we thought they would have. The whole thing, we thought they would have an advantage in these times if they lost practice time versus other teams or had schedule changes versus other teams, that other teams would get bogged down by it. Other teams would get distracted by it. Other teams wouldn't be able to overcome it. Instead, it's you. It's you that misses that practice time and can't put two and two together. And I felt like spent more time during that break complaining about it than focusing on the next game, which maybe makes you grounded people, but sorry, we're not really interested in that now, are we?
I think in retrospect, I think many of them got it backwards. That Belichick's whole thing is about having control, and once you take that away from him, he I don't want to say melts down. I think that's too harsh, but I think it throws him for a loop. I think that's what happened in part.
Good God. David in New Hampshire. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. I've been watching a lot of football because of the COVID, and also I just retired, and I've been seeing something in a lot of the NFL games this year, and what it is guys are turning kickoffs, taking them out of the end zone.
Yes, that's right.
I don't understand why they're doing it. Gunnar Olszewski got 17 yards, 32 yards, and 19 yards, and he bobbled on the 19-yard return. That averages just over 22 yards. They get it on the 25-yard line.
Okay, I got it. David, thank you for the call. Go ahead.
This was another underrated what-the-hell-is-Bill-doing moment from yesterday. Take the knee, dude. Why are you trying to return the ball when you're like halfway into the end zone?
It was
yell at him. Tell him no.
Like, it was clearly a game plan thing, right? Because he kept doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only three times, but the first two, he did it the first time, only got to whatever, the 17, and they did it again and had actually decent return. But you know, they were telling him, take it out.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I wonder, though, if they were all, I think maybe they just scouted something at special teams where they said we could get a chance for a big return against this team. But there was one where he was a good halfway back there, and he came out, and I went, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing?
Okay, sidebar piece, though. I mean, that's a small piece, tip of the iceberg. Kevin in Cambridge. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I just want to preface this take by saying I'm a Patriots fan, but the whiny, bitchy Patriots fans in this town are so predictable, it's amazing. Immediately after that game, I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I see Patriots fans and media members blaming the lack of practice for the loss instead of the team's poor play. The Patriots have no one else to blame for the lack of practice other than themselves. And I don't care. No amount of practice is going to make N'Keal Harry or Ryan Izzo into a starting caliber player. Thank God for people like Tom Curran, who wrote a great article yesterday comparing the Kansas City situation to this week with the Broncos situation, which actually the Kansas City situation was a lot tougher and they played a lot better against a better team. And Patriots fans, let this sink in. The inept New York Jets scored 28 points against the team that you played yesterday. Ugh. Think about that.
Okay, Kevin, great call. It's just reverse it, folks, because I know you said this, I said this, we said this. It was a narrative that if any team was equipped to handle these conditions in these times, it would be the Patriots. The Patriots would have their house in order. They would be able to avoid the distractions, overcome the adversity because they're so buttoned down and well-coached and drilled, and they would be ahead of these other bozo teams because the Pats and Belichick would be able to handle it and the other teams wouldn't. That is not a straw man. That is exactly what we all said, and a lot of you said. A lot of those same Patriot media cartel members were saying the exact same thing. And then they actually have the situation, and they can't overcome it. They give into it, basically. And then you, turn around and then blame it? Oh, God. That is so pathetic.
It's weak.
Jesus.
It's weak.
Again, come on.
Look, I said this earlier. The practice time's a factor. There's no question it's a factor, but it's not an excuse. And that yesterday was dog crap. That performance was dog crap.
Is this Tim in Nashua? Go ahead, Tim.
Mike, I was thinking nothing but positive before yesterday's game. And then I watched the first half on both sides of the ball, and no adjustments were made. So So I said, hey, the Patriot way, you know what they'll do? In the second half, they'll tell him to roll out, get out of the pocket instead of standing there filing his nails. And please get the McCourty's a lesson on covering people, because in the second half, usually they have some type of, you know, positive game plan and erase all what happened. And he looked like the horseless, the headless horseman standing there waiting to throw the ball. It was ridiculous.
He looked out to lunch. Newton and the coach and the quarterback looked out to lunch. They did. They looked like they weren't ready, not prepared, whatever. They sort of gave in. I think Bill sort of gave in. I think part of that not challenging the James White spot is inexcusable.
I know. That one blew me away.
But it's kind of born in the thought of, I'm not doing anything anyway.
Yeah, right.
Punt the ball. Let's get the hell out of here.
I mean, that's how I felt.
I mean, that's how I felt. He carried himself.
And on the field goal, same thing. I mean, now look, you get a decision there.
Well, so if you know what Maz is talking about, there was a third down that they didn't convert. The Pats got an illegal hands to the face call against Denver, which could have backed them up out of field goal range, but would have given them a 3rd and 14, and it would have taken it from a 54-yard field goal to a 64. And as good as McManus is, he's not drilling it from 64 into the lighthouse end at Gillette. But it would have been 3rd and 14. So they would have had to get off the field on another down, potentially saving themselves 3 points. And Bill declined it.
And they gave him 3.
And let the guy go out there and kick the 3. And I sort of add those two together, Maz, and I say, Bill just wanted to get the hell out of there. He is just, we're not doing anything anyway. Let's get out of here. Kick and get out of here.
I mean, that's what it felt like to me.
Gave in.
I think he borderline, you know, again, I think he borderline quit. I think I think he threw up his hands and said, you know, we got nothing. And I think in his mind, and the part of me that's most annoying is that in his mind is, well, if they're not going to let me practice, this is what's going to happen. Like, I felt like he sort of is just buried by the whole thing.
Throwing a tantrum.
Right,
you know,
right.
In his own way.
Right. This is what I mean about how someone who is as detail-oriented and controlling as he is, and rightfully so, I mean, it makes him great. When you flip the thing upside down like this, he doesn't know what to do. On some level, there's some of that at play.
Or he's pissed.
Right.
He's
okay.
Like, well, we can't practice. Or you're not going to let us get together. We're going to do all these things. Fine. We'll see what it looks like then.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I feel like that or whatever. But the way he coached in that game, oh, man, out to lunch. And what the hell was Cam Newton doing for 2 weeks? David Amherst. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, guys, I'm more pessimistic. I just don't think that, you know, Denver just stacked the box. McDaniels sucked yesterday. He has no creativity. But there's nowhere to go on the outside. There's no one getting open. So, yeah, he held the ball too long. But it's not going to be good down the road. Then it's not going to make it.
Okay.
You got to get receivers.
All right. You know, I just don't totally agree with that. Their line comes back. They get their running game back. They get a little bit more out of what they got in the pass catching department. Their defense continues to shut teams out of the end zone. There's a formula there. Oh, and by the way, I will mention the competition. As long as there are opposing coaches like Vic Fangio who are willing to come in to your building up 6 points with 3 minutes left and throw bombs down the middle of the field.
Unbelievable.
Then, you know, you have a shot against everybody. So that's part of my calculus as well, why I would not rule out this Patriots team, because of Vic Fangio and the Vic Fangios of the world, of which the league is loaded with. Loaded with these bozos, these stupid coaches. And so for as out to lunch as you were in that game, Denver just about handed it to you.
I mean, the Patriots shouldn't have had any sniff at the end at all. That should have been a 24-3 game or 27-3 game.
Just keep
with the way the Patriots played.
Keep letting that kid chuck it down the field.
Idiotic.
So they still have a chance because of the competition as much as anything. We continue with your thoughts. Meanwhile, again, good day for the Brady folks. We'll get back to that after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rodgers takes the snap, 3rd and 10, drops, pressure coming against the pass. It's intercepted, picked off down the sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Tampa Bay. Jamal touchdown Dean. Buccaneers, Jamal Dean.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. You know, it's partly, I haven't had a lot of those over the years, but you know, the wind was blowing pretty good right to left. Like I said, I felt good about the spot. And I knew he was tight. We fit throws like that. I missed my spot by, you know, probably a foot or so. And the, you know, kid made a good play.
also mentioned a good day for the Bradyites. Looks like Brady's ready to go on a run and Bill's toast. How it feels like after yesterday. Week before, Brady couldn't count to four, and, you know, it's changed week to week. I wonder if we're going to settle into a clear, you know, winner or loser here at some point. But good day for Brady. Good day for the Bradyites. Against Belichick, for sure, and Aaron Rodgers, if you want to throw that in there. We talked about this at the end of the week. I was looking forward to that game because finally a fair fight where Rodgers goes against Brady and Brady doesn't have Belichick on his side, or, you know, a good defense on his side, or whatever the case may be. Just straight up two quarterbacks going head-to-head with two bad coaches, two bad defenses. So I was looking forward to that. And so in that matchup, Aaron Rodgers goes in there and completely craps his pants. Panic sandwich on rye with mayo. Panic sandwich. He throws one pick six and loses himself.
The game completely flipped on that play.
I mean, that's the thing, is up until that point, you know, they looked pretty good. That first drive of the game, Green Bay looked pretty good.
And the prior Bucks series, Brady started to lose his mind.
He was barking at his receivers. Yeah. It was like all lined up, and one mistake. One. And it's like, oh my God, oh my God. They started throwing on every down. Like, this is LaFleur in that offense is, you know, run, bootleg, run, stretch, run. They run the crap out of the ball. But he throws that pick six, and it's like, oh my God, we got to get it back. We get it back right here, guys. Get it back right here. Two plays later, another interception. Come out the next series, misses a wide-open tight end down the seam. It's like panic sandwich. 10-0 to 21-10 ball game. And it's like, so, straight up. Not like you had to go against a superior coach or a better defense. I mean, Tampa's defense might be better, but it's not like that was the case or that's what happened there. What happened is you made one mistake and lost your mind. So there you go. There's another one for Brady. And then after the game, Rodgers there. Haven't had many of those in my career. Oh, shut up. Wind was blowing. It was windy.
Aww. It was. What an excuse.
Talk about excuse making. This guy. Give me another Rodgers post game. Give me this. He says it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about the team, Bill. Might need to add an extra finger to the scotch. I do feel good about the team. You know, I've played for so long. You know, you're going to have a couple stinkers. This is, I believe, an anomaly, not the beginning of a trend. And we got a chance to prove me right next week.
Add a finger of scotch. It's so cool, aren't you? Tool bag. Seriously. So, you know what I would have done there in that game?
Pulled him.
Bench him.
Yeah.
The whole reason, pull a Garoppolo on him. Kansas City Massacre. The whole reason, it should be the whole reason, the guy sitting there on the bench is to get to wake this guy up and to jar him loose. So you have a day like that. Yep, sit him for the fourth quarter. Let him see how that tastes and see how he responds to it. Jordan Love should have been in there in the fourth quarter, mopping up like Garoppolo did in Kansas City in 2014. Get his attention. But they don't quite, they got it half right. The drafting of Love was the best thing they've done in a long time, but you've then got to follow through with it.
Yeah, I mean, it takes some sack obviously to draft him, but you got to put him out there in a situation like
that. The whole idea is to put Rodgers on the clock.
Yeah.
Okay, and Rodgers is still a little too cool for school. We're going to be fine. We needed a loss like this. We'll just add a finger of scotch. We got this. I don't know. You know, maybe you should go think about that on the bench while we play the first round pick for the rest of this fourth quarter. See how that tastes. That's what they should have done.
I'll tell you, if Tampa plays like that, they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
I'm not convinced they are. I'm still not buying on them. They're just the kind of team.
I said if they play like that.
Sure, of course. I think if anyone plays like that, they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
They got a lot of talent on that defense. They got a lot of talent.
Yeah, but that's a big if. I mean, remember how undisciplined that they were the week before against Chicago. They still got that in them.
Let's see how they handle success.
Yeah.
That's not exactly, you know, Arians is just like, you know, they had a, they threw a freaking blowout last night.
Yeah, no, it was an orgy.
It was a Roman orgy down in Denver.
Two fingers to the scotch.
And he's going to be reading I'm talking about Arians. They're going to be reading their press clippings. Like, here comes a big Sunday night game. I think they're in Vegas next week on Sunday night. It's like, oh yeah, we got it all figured out. So let's see how they handle success.
I'm telling you, though, there's no question. I mean, I don't have confidence in their ability to manage it either. But boy, when they get rolling, ooh, they are, and their defense is mean.
Well, how about if Gronkowski can actually still play?
Oh my God! Like, that was the most startling development of the whole weekend. I thought he was a corpse up until yesterday. He looked good.
Okay, so good day for the Bradyites, as I keep saying. Jake in Boston, what do you got, Jake?
Hey, two quick points. Number one, Thunger, you see Tom Brady throw a touchdown to a rookie wide receiver yesterday. And then what about the running back they drafted after Stoney? And then second, forget about the pandemic here, boys. The reality is Bill's got two idiot kids with way too much power, put in way too little effort, and daddy's having to cover for him. Steven's having a kid this week. How's he going to game plan for San Francisco, watch his toddler, and then take care of a newborn? That's why you stink, because your own nepotism is biting you in the butt right now. Quit making the pandemic the excuse and focus on the internal issues.
Okay, so Steve Belichick coaching the defense. Do you blame the defense for yesterday, Maz?
I mean, look, I mean, I know they kept the Broncos out of the red zone.
End zone.
Out of the end zone. I'm sorry. Out of the end zone, and they played good red zone defense is what I meant to say. But at the end of the day, Denver didn't punt until the fourth quarter. So Belichick was asked about the defense numerous times after the game, and he said, well, you know, we got to get better on everything. And I thought, boy, he's throwing the defense under the bus. And then I thought about it, and I said, no, he's not. What does Denver have on offense? You gave up a 3rd and 21 on one play yesterday. And look, I'm not telling you the defense was horrible, but they also let Denver keep the ball. I was surprised to see that Denver was 4 for 14 on third down, because it felt better than that. And again, they didn't punt until the fourth quarter. So, like, how many on the series where they gave up the 3rd and 21, they had an opportunity to make Denver punt from deep in its own end.
I'm telling you, so the 3rd and 21 was their worst play all day, by far, for sure. You know, unforgivable. 3rd and 21. But I thought all day Denver was bailing out your defense by taking these shots. They kept taking shots. They'd have a 3rd and 2 deep in the end zone. They'd have a 3rd and manageable deep down the sidelines. They kept taking these deep shots when they were moving the ball fine with Lindsay or whatever the case may be. And all, like, you know, every other series, Locke was taking some deep shot into the end zone or down the field. It's like, I thought that Denver offense bailed you out.
I think Locke's got a chance. He's got to get better coaching, though. Their offensive coordinator blows.
Isn't it Pat Shurmur?
Yes.
Is it Shurmur?
Yeah.
He blows them.
So just like these, you know, this is why the patch is still going to be in it, because it's one recycled bum after the next in that league of the coaching department.
I didn't think the defense was great yesterday. I'm sorry. I thought they got gashed on the ground again.
Well, up front, they sucked. There was no question about that. That Philip Lindsay basically did whatever he wanted, and I think he averaged like 4.5 a carry.
I mean, Denver didn't punt until the fourth quarter. They didn't have to punt. The Broncos. Was this the Eagles in the Super Bowl, for crying out loud?
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger and Maz.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Newton under center from the 25. White in the back with Newton with a play fake. Dwight drops back. He throws to the near side. The ball is tipped and intercepted. Caught by the falling Bryce Callahan. Rises and then runs down the left sideline and is eventually shoved out of bounds near the Patriot 20-yard line. And in fact, with Denver procuring its third takeaway of the day, they're going to mark him out along the near side with the Broncos celebrating.
At least Harry got a target.
In the end zone to our left.
The defender plays right through the receiver, the bigger, more physical receiver, wanted the football, wanted it more, and went and took it.
The ball was tipped again.
The ball's tipped. But more importantly, great concentration off the right hand, secures the catch, plays through the receiver, and then returns it. Setting them up down inside. I don't know what more to say.
Second of two interceptions for Newton to go along with four sacks, a couple of which you put on Newton. I'm sorry. You really do.
He held onto the ball too long. Boy, Zoe hates Harry, huh?
How do you feel about Harry?
Oh, I can't stand him. Please. But again, I don't work for the team.
What's to like?
Oh, my gosh. Seriously. But because, again, that ball was tipped, and it did curve back towards the inside of the field. There's no question about it. So I don't know how much Harry could have done on it. That's all my point is. I'm not telling you he's good.
No, but Zoe immediately wants to dump
him. Oh, he wanted to kill him. Oh, he wanted to kill him. He can't stand him. And you know what? I don't blame him. I mean, with good reason. But, again, the thing with the tip balls with Newton, how many games he played? Three or four? Four. He's had three batted balls in at least two of those.
a guy that size, it shouldn't be happening to, you know, like it just doesn't make any sense.
Oh my gosh. And this one was a little different because
it was the linebacker level.
Yeah. This one was farther down the field, but still he gets a lot batted at the line of scrimmage.
The first one was lazy, lazy, lazy play.
And there was another one after this, I think, that he had where it was the lineman who has all the batted balls for Denver got up in the air. Maybe it was before this. I don't remember the sequence. Same deal at the line of scrimmage. It's the same. Like, how does that happen with a guy that big?
How about Newton's running mess?
Why didn't he run into earlier in the game?
I don't know.
I don't understand that. When you are falling behind, the play calling yesterday bugged the crap out of me. So they didn't target the wide receivers at all. At least not the ones that matter. Edelman and Harry. Okay? So they didn't target those guys at all. They didn't score. And at no point did they were there, like, design runs or scrambles for Newton. Nothing. So at least in the first week of the season, you looked at it and said, well, they're limited, so they're going to run with Newton at the beginning. I got it. Great. Excellent weapon. Use it. They had the same problem yesterday. You didn't get to practice a lot. Run Newton.
Or run Damian Harris, too, which they started to do at the beginning of the game, and he had a great game in Kansas City, and then, poof, he was non-existent in terms of the offense. And the same with Rex Burkhead, too. Like, Rex Burkhead's a good pass-catching running back. He wasn't involved at all.
I mean, by the time Newton started running, it was too late. It got that long run, that 38-yarder that set up points for him. And I thought, okay, was that the touchdown drive? I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I look at it, okay, well, here you go. Where's that been all day?
It's a good question. Good question how they came out against Miami. That's what I thought as well. You know, less practice time, you got to simplify. So you run high school offense with Cam Newton. And they didn't really do it. Now, I know Denver did stuff to take him out of it, a lot of run blitzing. But still, you know, you weren't throwing yesterday. So what were you doing? What were you doing? Steve in Vermont. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's up? Hey, first of all, Murray, I love the old school Buccaneers hat. Wicked cool.
Thank you.
And secondly, I called the show about 3 weeks ago. I've been defending Harry. I've had enough. I got a new position for him. He needs to just sit on the curb somewhere in Foxborough and wait for the garbage truck to pick him up because he is friggin' garbage.
Okay, a little strong, but have not seen the progress. You thought there was a glimmer of hope there. Again, the Seattle game factors pretty prominently. Cam Newton sort of taking him under his wing, giving him a lot of confidence, a lot of, you know, positive reinforcement, all of that. Then he has that game against Seattle. How's he been the last month?
Does he have to make it look so bad? So, like, he was targeted twice. And the second incompletion, I'm putting that on Cam Newton. He completely missed him. Can you stop falling down? Like, it's like me out there. He's just a klutz. Like, and he said last week he's not going to compare himself to any other wide receivers drafted in 2019. Good. No, that's progress, because he shouldn't. You watched last night, Debo Samuel, also taken in 2019. Better than you, N'Keal Harry. Boy, he sucks.
Zero catches.
Sucks.
Zero.
Tony and Stoneham, go.
I got to tell you something. The worst coach game on both sides yesterday. And you guys think that this is because they didn't practice? The hardest thing to do is the two Edelman passes that they completed. They never practiced that. And we're looking at a very positive, possible rather, four losses in a row with Kansas City and Buffalo coming up. And the thing is, if Brady was with this team, realistically, this team could be undefeated if Brady was here and Belichick was the Belichick of 10 years ago.
Okay, Kansas City and Buffalo coming up. Isn't he missing
one? San Fran. It's San Fran and Buffalo.
I know. I was setting you up.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Guess who's coming home?
Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Guess who's coming home, bitches? Put the tables out in the north end. He's back.
So we say poorly coached game. I mean, obviously, there's, you know, the defense is debatable. You don't allow a touchdown. Is that a good day or a bad day for the defense? You know, they don't allow a touchdown, but they also don't force a punt to the fourth quarter. So what is it? So we can debate the defense. The offense was wretched. But to me, it's more of an overall thing. The team wasn't ready to go. They weren't ready to go. And it just feels they gave in. They gave in to the COVID layoff and the lack of practice time, to the distraction and the lack of – they gave into it as opposed to overcoming it.
Not they, he.
And I think Bill played into it too, the way he coached, the lack of urgency in some of that coaching. Just sort of asleep at the wheel, declining the penalty and letting him take the 3 points – and not challenging the spot of the ball from James White. I just thought it just sort of reeked of, and they didn't even go hurry up until it was too late as well. They could have gone with some tempo much earlier than they did, and they didn't. They were still huddling up in the fourth quarter. It's like, part of me thought Bill just said, we're not doing anything. Get the hell out of here. We're just going to get the hell out of here.
He threw his hands up.
And it's like, boy, for the same people that are giving Bill a pass or the Patriots a pass for the lack of practice time, we're telling all of us, and I agreed with you before, that if anyone could overcome this and be in a better position because of these circumstances, it would be the Patriots and Bill Belichick. We all thought that. And it was just the opposite. Just the opposite. We've got Brandon in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. If I could be really quick. So I noticed that the energy went from positive to negative on this team. They're looking very pedestrian on offense. In defense, Edelman's looking like Wes Welker on his way out. So I think they need to package something out and get some new blood on this team. And, Felger, you want to know what Cam Newton was doing for 2 weeks? He was sitting there. That's why he looked.
Okay. Go easy.
Yeah, it's a little too graphic.
Edelman looks cashed.
Okay, Edelman looks cashed.
Edelman looks like Gronk did 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks of rest doesn't help him out?
Apparently not.
I mean, so is part of the reason they weren't running Newton because he didn't have his wind? You know, he's sort of been out of it for 2 weeks. And, I mean, I don't know. He since the Seattle game, that's been a trend. But he looked out to lunch. And I'm sorry, Ryan Tannehill was in the exact same spot. Maybe even a little worse. They had 3 practices in 16 days. You had 2 in like 10 or 11. I mean, I don't know exactly what the number is, but it's similar. And Ryan Tannehill has been unstoppable the last 2 weeks. So you tell me, what's the difference? I mean, I don't know. It seems like one guy figured it out, one guy hasn't.
Well, look, I'll play devil's advocate a little bit. Tennessee's been together before this year, right? So it's not a new quarterback. He's got basically the same line and skill players.
That's fair.
So there's some continuity there that the Patriots don't possess. Again, I'll give them some for that. The fact that they haven't practiced, I'll give them some. But that's not the reason you lost the game. You guys look like a bunch of jackasses out there. They look like a bunch of guys who never played football before. Like, how do you explain that? That was inept. That was completely, utterly inept.
They weren't ready. More of your thoughts. Some specific individual second guesses for Belichick right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.